You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Join the Cleveland Browns in Columbus for the Orange and Brown scrimmage on Friday, August 7th from 6 to 8 at Ohio Stadium. Matt Wilhelm's former stomping grounds.
Yes, sir.
Including free scrimmage festivities. Get your free tickets to this Browns inner squad scrimmage beginning Monday, June 22nd at 10 a.m. on ClevelandBrowns.com or the Browns mobile app. That's June 22nd at 10 a.m. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, joined by the Gribbs. Andrew Gribble, senior staff writer, ClevelandBrowns.com. Gribbs, big week for you guys, pumping out content on ClevelandBrowns.com. We'll get to that, but let's start with your thoughts on the Cavs. Were you downtown last night? What did you think?
I was at Lakewood, at a bar in Lakewood, and it was packed. I mean, it's a different feel in Lakewood as it is in Cleveland, but these businesses are just racking up the money during this time of year. It's just fun to be a part of.
Yep.
But it was. You kind of had, maybe it's because I've lived in Cleveland most of my life, I just had that sinking feeling kind of going into this game that I just didn't have for some of the other ones. And when that game started, when the Cavs still had that first quarter lead, I was just like, this isn't going well. They're playing way too fast. They were getting sucked into what the Warriors wanted to do. And I think the problem, it's kind of a catch-22 the Cavs find themselves in right now, because against that Warriors lineup, you really shouldn't be playing Mozgov on defense, because he really doesn't have anyone to guard. I mean, he was on Livingston at some points. I mean, he's just running all over the place, but he's so good on offense against this lineup. So it's kind of like a what do you do?
Catch-22.
And so like it's the thing that needs to happen is they need more offense from Shumpert and Smith to kind of compensate for that, and that's just not happening. So they can't even afford to take Mozgov off the floor at this point. So it's a big couple days of rest and potential adjustments. But like you guys have been saying, I mean, there's only so many adjustments left for this roster. You've got
J.R. Smith's got to play better. You've got to make shots.
You've got like 6.5 guys who are playing consistent basketball right now, and I think they need to play Mike Miller just some minutes just to give guys some rest and make them fresher in that fourth quarter, and maybe reconsider LeBron's rest pattern so you're not getting bombarded in those first couple minutes of the fourth quarter.
So based on everything you just said, with what needs to be changed going into game five, what is your all-in outlook? Does this go to seven? Do you think the Cavs can win the next two with a little bit of rest and then win at home?
I think this series goes to seven, but I think obviously whoever wins game five, I think, is winning this
series. Yeah, I heard that too, and I agreed with it.
I think it is going to go to seven games, though, because I just think the Cavs are too mentally tough to get down 3-2 and then just kind of pack it in. I think that they'll come back here. I think the atmosphere will be fantastic for game six, no matter the circumstances. And so I think they'll play well in that regard. And I think these couple days of rest will help. I think you'll see Delly fresher. I think you'll see LeBron fresher. And I think I was listening to Windhorst earlier today. It's just like you look at what the Cavs did yesterday. Even though the Warriors played their kind of style, you know, what if J.R. Smith makes a couple more threes? You make a few more free throws in that game, and you're still right in that game and kind of hanging around. So they're playing well enough where, and I also get the sense, and maybe I'm reading too much into this, I almost feel like the Warriors are a little too overconfident coming out of this game.
They are.
Because I think they feel like they figured it out. It's game over, and they've got the Cavs where they wanted. But for me personally, I was almost relieved. If the Cavs were going to lose, I was almost pleased that it was not something that tested me for a solid 3 hours. I was kind of resigned to defeat by the early part of the fourth quarter. And, you know, I think that you're able to rest some guys and you're not going to overtime or anything like that. And
so I was
okay with it at the end.
And hopefully that extra day of rest before they play again on Sunday will help this Cavaliers team. Let's talk Browns now. You've been watching the OTAs wrapping up mandatory minicamp next week. What's really stood out to you? I know you've had some nice observation pieces. You and Kevin Jones doing a ton of stuff right now. ClevelandBrowns.com and the Browns mobile app. And, of course, Gribbs will be joining me on Dog Pound Report this Sunday at 11:30 on News Channel 5.
Well, you know, I think the one key thing was, you mentioned it earlier in the show, Taylor Gabriel's kind of just playing on another level right now. And I think that I think the sense of urgency in him, he knows that he played well as a rookie and maybe wasn't given the national recognition for what he did as a rookie here last season. And I think he sees the roster right now and knows that he's got to compete for playing time against some of these veterans out there. But I think he's showing it very well, and I think he's been a highlight on an offense that is, you know, kind of going through the process of installing the offense. It's going to take some time, and clearly the defense is on kind of a higher level at this point, and I think we all expected that. And I think that, too, just seeing the play he made yesterday and just hearing what coaches have said about him, Jordan Poyer is making the most of this opportunity that he's been given, working with that first team. I talked to Pierre Desir earlier this week. He said that Poyer's just kind of a new guy right now. He's got that fire under him. He knows that, you know, obviously I think everyone expects Tayshaun Gibson back at some point, but this is a time for Poyer to prove he's willing and able to fill that spot whenever Gibson isn't able to be on the field. So he's a guy on defense that stands out, and I think there's just so much rotation along the defensive line that's been interesting to watch. You're seeing a lot of guys who you'd maybe even peg as like third or fourth team guys working with the first team as they try to figure out who works best with each other.
Andrew, share some insight in the article that's on clevelandbrowns.com or the Browns mobile app about Danny Shelton and the time frame of his graduation and his excitement to get back here to Cleveland and be here for the minicamp.
Well, yeah, I talked to him last week, and he was at the point where he was kind of preparing for finals. And I think the most interesting thing was, you know, he was doing that homework on draft night, not because he had an assignment due then, but because he had it due on Friday night. And he, obviously he expected what a whirlwind Friday was after the draft when he came to Cleveland, was meeting about 1,000 people within this building and just doing so many different things. So he was working ahead on that. And then he also had midterms to take Monday in Seattle on draft weekend. So that was, it's just kind of been a lot going on in his life. You know, people realize, you know, even if he wanted to step away and put graduation off, which he didn't want to do, but if he did and wanted to be a part of OTAs, the NFL rules don't allow that because Washington's on a quarter system, and when you're still in school and you're drafted, you have to kind of finish out that quarter. It's not really a problem for most other people because most schools are on semesters at this point, but Washington is still one of those colleges that's still on quarters. But, you know, he's been in constant contact with the defensive coaches here, staying in the playbook, but just getting taking care of business with the two classes he need to take. He has four graduation ceremonies this weekend, and then he'll be back here and ready to go Monday and Tuesday into minicamp.
Let me ask you this. You talked about Taylor Gabriel. We had a caller call up and, you know, saying, you know, we've heard about all these different wide receivers. How do you think, let's say that if the Browns were to keep six wide receivers on the roster right now, do you feel like those six are pretty much set almost at this point, but somebody would have to really kind of shock the world to break into that group?
You know, I don't think it's set right now. I think it's pretty open. And as Mike Pettine keeps repeating, you know, this isn't real football over and over again. You also have, you're seeing what Vince Maley's out there running routes, but I think he had a pass thrown his way yesterday that he just kind of had to bat down like a volleyball player out there because he's not allowed to catch passes at this point. But there's just some interesting decisions to make because you brought up the value of a player like a Marlon Moore, you know, not a guy you're going to traditionally see out there as a typical wide receiver, but one of this team's most valuable special teams players just from what he does at various spots. He can do a lot there. So I guess there's a lot of decisions to weigh that will go beyond the wide receiver room in terms of who adds the most value to this team, not just as that sixth receiver, but also on special teams as well. Travis Benjamin falls into that as well. You know, he was a player that I think they even made that list of five under the radar guys who's having a good OTA. So I think the pressure's on for some of these guys. They recognize that. They saw free agents that were out of the room. You would assume locking in Hartline, Bo, Hawkins. I mean, those are three guys locked in, and then your
right.
draft pick obviously
Maley.
As well.
That's four.
Maley, and then Taylor Gabriel's having
so
a heck
five.
Of an OTA. I mean, this is just, you know, this is a team that gets a lot of criticism about its wide receiver play, but it's not like there's a shortage of options. I mean, there's going to be some players who may have been contributors in recent years or can be contributors elsewhere in the NFL that just might not fit in on the final 53.
Andrew, we had an opportunity to speak with the new Cleveland Browns punter, Andy Lee, yesterday, and there's a special story. And with the setting of being on the radio, I didn't want to get into it because it's out there. You guys have spoken to Andy. Just clue in our listeners to the story about his daughter and the number change for him here in Cleveland.
Yeah, you know, he'd been wearing number four his entire career with the 49ers. And when he came here, it gave him an opportunity to pay tribute to his daughter, Madeline, who she was born on January 27th, had some complications right away after she was born. Ultimately, around the fifth day, she had an infection, and she passed away on the eighth day. So in tribute to her, he's wearing the number 8 to represent the number of days that she was alive. And, you know, he wants her to be, you know, forever remember, you know, because like he said, not many people got to know her. She was just in the NICU the entire time. And because it was flu season, only him and his wife, Rachel, were able to see her. So it's something that it's been tough for him throughout the last few months. But, you know, he's found some positive in this situation. He said it's just been kind of an emotional roller coaster, but at the same time, he's finding blessings, you know, through this these really tough times. He's a family guy. He said he loves to play football, be with his family, and play golf, and that's really kind of how he describes himself. So he's just a really kind of down to earth guy, and really, I think fans are going to get to like him a lot. And from just an on field standpoint, what we saw yesterday was pretty impressive. The first day we were able to really watch what he's doing, and he is just booming the ball.
I've never seen anything like it.
I mean, Spencer Landing was a good punter, but this is kind of a different kind. There aren't many guys like Andy Lee in the league. I mean, this just the leg strength he has, and it's not like he's the biggest guy in the world either. That's why it's kind of surprising to see where it comes from. But, you know, he was a punter that was drafted out of college. Not many punters get drafted. So he's been kind of this really solid punter for the last 11 years. And I think at 32, he's still got plenty of good years ahead of him. And he said he wants to retire a Brown. So that'll be his goal going forward.
Yeah, we had a good time talking with him yesterday. Now, the position coaches addressed the media yesterday, offensive and defensive. Was there anything that stood out to you that you heard yesterday that you wanted to share with our listeners?
Wait, you know, I thought it was interesting. I was talking to Chuck Driesbach, the inside linebackers coach, and I just kind of laid out to him, what's it like to have a trio of inside linebackers like Carlos Dansby, Craig Robertson, and Chris Kirksey. And he was quick to correct me. He's like, no, you should include Tank Carter in that mix too. So he's another player that is really kind of rising to the occasion in these OTAs, knows that the roster spots are going to be harder to come by this year around. So he's another player. We mentioned him in the under the radar guys that are having good OTAs. He was quick to mention him. And just kind of the confidence of Jeff Hathley at this point. He's got reason to be confident. He's got a lot of guys in his defensive backfield. I was asking him about a variety of players, including Brandon Stevens, the player they brought in from the Gladiators. He's someone that's even stood out at these OTAs. He's a big guy. If in terms of guys who are lowest percentage of body fat on the roster, I would put Brandon Stevens in that top 10. I think he's a player that Gladiators fans know about. His picture's all over the queue outside right now. He was on their marketing poster. So he just got a big group that he's like the wide receivers. He's going to have a lot of tough decisions to make in the coming months to filling out his group as well. And I thought it was interesting talking to Andy Moeller, offensive line coach, about Cam Irving. They've worked him at three different spots. They don't feel like they're overwhelming him at all. They're not in a hurry to settle on one spot. They'll say it'll come naturally. And when it does, they'll hone in and see where he can make the biggest impact this season.
What are you looking to see in the mini camp that's coming up, the mandatory mini camp? And do you think Tashaun Gibson will be a part of it?
It just, you read between the lines and it doesn't sound like it. Right. I have no other insight but that, but it just doesn't. I think it's one of those things where, like, you'll be happy when he gets here, but until then, you just kind of move forward with the guys you got. And so I just don't know, but I would probably lean toward probably not. But I think it's more of the same, really, the way Mike Pettine, the difference, especially with a team that has had such high attendance for these OTAs. I think for us out there next week, it's not going to look all that different. I think they're going to be doing a lot of the same things. These players are going to be here in the building a little bit longer, going through longer meetings and things like that. But I think they've just kind of been building and building. The one thing Mike Pettine noted was that there's not going to be any new installation, so that maybe stuff, especially on offense, will look a little bit more crisp out there. They're going to be doing stuff that they've been working on for the past few weeks. But again, like as Mike Pettine said, the real football starts about a month and a half from now when they're able to finally put on pads, and then there will be some more obvious separation on whittling this roster down from 90 to 53.
Gribbs, thank you so much. Always a pleasure to have you on here. Follow him on Twitter at Andrew_Gribble. And right now, If you've got it in the palm of your hand, you should download the Browns mobile app for Apple and Android phones. The content you guys are putting out is amazing. Piece on Danny Shelton going out there, observations from OTAs, unsung players who the coaches are singling out as having good camps, everything you want to know about the Browns, what they've been doing thus far in the offseason program, brought to you by our guy Andrew Gribble and, of course, Kevin Jones. And like I said, Gribbs will be on with us, the Dog Pound Report, this Sunday, 11:30 a.m. on News Channel 5. Gribbs, before we let you go, Kenny Loggins or Huey Lewis?
Oh, man. Can I have both? I mean,
no.
That's...
I like that you like both of them, though.
Yeah, I'm going to just... Caddyshack is too close to my heart. Going Kenny Loggins.
Yes. Loggins, yes. It's unanimous in this room. Loggins, I love it. Beautiful. Good stuff, Gribbs. We will be back with more of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, including a little Higher or Lower, which features Caddyshack, believe it or not. It's amazing how these things all come together, don't you think?